Close your eyes and let your mind drift back. Back to a time of turmoil and twilight in the heart of Tamriel. Before the last dragons returned. Before the civil war that tore Skyrim apart. An empire stood on the very brink of annihilation. This isn't the story of grand battles shouted from mountaintops, but rather a chronicled whisper in the embers of a dying age. It is the complete story of a forgotten prisoner, a hero whose destiny was forged in the fires of oblivion, and whose sacrifice would save a world that would never truly know their name. So settle in, and let us journey together through the Oblivion Crisis. From a cold prison cell, to the very bowels of hell, and find peace in the epic tale of the hero, Kvatch. Our story begins where so many do. In darkness, a single cell in the dungeons of the Imperial City, cold and damp. Time here is marked only by the shuffling feet of unseen guards, and the muffled sounds of a world far, far away. In this cell, a lone prisoner awaits their fate. Their name, their crime, already fading from memory, even to themselves. They are a person of no consequence, a ghost in the Imperial machine. Their future, a short, bleak line to the executioner's block. But fate, as it so often does in Tamriel, had other plans. For reasons known only to the stars, this particular cell held a secret, a hidden escape route, a path of last resort for the rulers of the Empire, lying dormant behind a loose stone wall. On this day, the dungeon's routine was shattered. The sounds of a struggle of steel on steel echoed down the stone corridors, growing closer. The cell door creaked open, but not for a jailer. It was the Emperor of Tamriel himself, Uriel Septim VII, flanked by his loyal blades. His face etched with worry and a strange prophetic calm, turned to the forgotten prisoner. You are the one from my dreams, the Emperor said, his voice a low tremor of certainty. This was no coincidence. The stars had aligned, and on this day, this prisoner was part of a destiny that had only been seen in visions. With assassins in crimson robes closing in, the Emperor and his guard had no choice but to use the secret passage in the cell. The prisoner would follow, an act that would change their life and the fate of the world. The journey through the Imperial sewers was a grim, desperate flight. The assassins of the Mythic Dawn were relentless, striking from the shadows. One by one, the blades would fall. In a dark cistern, the assassins cornered the group, and Renault was the first of the Emperor's main guard to fall. Trapped and outnumbered, the group fought their way to a final sealed chamber. Here, with no escape, the Emperor turned to the prisoner, a deep sadness in his eyes. he knew his end was near. He spoke of the Oblivion Crisis, an invasion from the demonic plains of Oblivion, led by the Daedric Prince of Destruction, Mehrunes Dagon. He explained that his death and the death of his sons would break an ancient pact. The dragon fires and the temple of the One, which protected the mortal realm, would go out. The barrier between worlds would crumble. With his final breaths, Uriel Septim VII entrusted the prisoner with the Amulet of Kings, the sacred symbol of the Septim Dynasty. "Find him," the Emperor urged, his voice barely above a whisper. "And close shut the jaws of Oblivion." He spoke of a man named Joffrey, the Grand Master of the Blades, living in secret as a monk at Wainan Priory. Joffrey was the only one who knew where to find the Emperor's hidden heir. As he finished speaking, an assassin lunged from a hidden passage, and the Emperor of Tamriel fell. And so began the Oblivion Crisis. In the damp darkness beneath the capital, a forgotten prisoner now held the fate of an empire in their hands. Alone, except for the remaining blade, Boris, the prisoner navigated the rest of the winding sewers. The Amulet of Kings felt heavy, not just with gold and jewel, but with purpose. Dying Emperor's last words echoed in their mind, a quest given by a ghost. After what felt like an eternity, a grate of light appeared, leading out into the open air of Cyrodiil. The world outside was deceptively peaceful. The sun shone, birds sang in the trees. But this tranquility was just a fragile veneer over a world about to burn. The journey to Wainan Priory was the first step into a new life. Nestled along the road between the Imperial City and Coral, the Priory was a quiet, unassuming place of worship. Its simple stone buildings were a peaceful sanctuary that had secretly served as a hidden headquarters for the Blades. When they arrived, a monk, Brother Piner, directed them to Joffrey. Joffrey, the Grand Master of the Blades, looked like nothing more than a humble prior in his simple robes. He listened with grim focus as the prisoner recounted the tragedy in the capital. When he saw the Amulet of Kings, his face hardened. The Emperor's prophecies were coming true. All of Uriel's known sons had been murdered by the Mythic Dawn, a Daedric cult devoted to Mehrunes Dagon. Their goal was clear: extinguish the Septim bloodline. Only a dragonborn emperor wearing the amulet could light the dragon fires and keep the barrier between Tamriel and Oblivion sealed. With the amulet now in his care, Joffrey revealed the secret the emperor had died to protect. Uriel had an illegitimate son, a man named Martin. Years ago, the Emperor had entrusted Joffrey with this infant son, ordering him to find a safe home for the boy, far from the dangers of the court. Joffrey had done so. Martin grew up never knowing his true heritage. He had become a priest in the chapel of Akatosh, in the city of Kvatch. Joffrey urged the prisoner to go to Kvatch at once, find Martin, and bring him safely back. quest was clear. The prisoner, now an agent of the Blades, and the last hope of the Empire, set out for the city of Kvatch to the southwest. They were given provisions and a horse from the Priory stables, small comforts for the heavy task ahead. As they rode across the rolling hills of the Westweald, the sky seemed to darken. A palpable sense of dread began to hang in the air. The world was holding its breath, waiting for the first scream. And that scream was coming from Kvatch. The sight of Kvatch from a distance was horrifying. Where a proud city should have stood, there was only fire, smoke, and ruin. Pulsing with an unnatural blood-red light just outside the city gates was a shimmering tear in reality. It was an oblivion gate, a direct doorway to the Deadlands, the chaotic realm of Mehrunes Dagon. From it, monstrous Daedra had poured in, overwhelming the city's defenses. A makeshift camp of terrified survivors huddled on the road, their stories coming out in panicked pieces. This attack was sudden, brutal, and absolute. At the barricade before the gate stood Captain Savli and Matthias of the Kvatch Guard, his face a mask of grim determination. He explained the impossible situation. The Daedra had overrun the city, and survivors, including the Count of Kvatch, were trapped inside. When asked about a priest named Martin, Matthias confirmed he was still alive, having helped lead a group to the relative safety of the city's chapel. But there was no way to reach him. The Oblivion Gate had to be closed. It was a suicide mission, but it was the only way. With the courage that defied all logic, the person who, just days ago, was rotting in a cell, agreed to venture into the maw of Oblivion itself. Stepping through the gate was like stepping into a nightmare. The sky burned an angry red, the ground a twisted mass of scorched rock and flesh-like plants, the air crackling with malevolent energy. In the distance, a colossal spiked tower reached into the bleeding sky. This was the Sigil Tower, the heart of this small piece of hell on Nirn. Just inside, a surviving guard, named Eiland Vanius, was fighting for his life. After helping him, he could be sent back to safety, or convinced to join the perilous journey ahead. The path to the tower was a brutal landscape of falling rocks, lava, and hostile Daedra. The tower itself was a labyrinth filled with Dremora, the intelligent and cruel soldiers of Dagon's army. Deep inside, a few prisoners from Kvatch were found trapped in cages. One of them, once freed, explained the key. At the very top of the main tower was a sigil stone, the object anchoring the gate to the mortal plane. Remove it, and the gate would collapse. Fighting through the tower, floor by agonizing floor, the hero finally reached the final chamber, the Sigillum Sanguis. After a desperate battle with a powerful Dremora sigil keeper, the path to the summit was clear. A colossal, glowing orb, the sigil stone, floated above a pedestal pulsing with an immense power. Grasping it and ripping it from its mantle, the hero was engulfed in blinding white light and thrown back to Cyrodiil. Behind them, the Oblivion Gate imploded with a deafening roar and vanished. The red sky over Kvatch cleared. Savli and Matthias and his men stared on in awe. A single person had walked into oblivion and returned victorious. With renewed hope, Savlian rallied his guard to retake their city. The hero joined the charge into the ruined city square. After clearing the first wave of Daedra, Savlian directed the hero to the chapel of Akatosh. Inside, the chapel was a scene of quiet desperation. The wounded lay on pews, and huddled in a corner was a simple priest, his face filled with a quiet strength. This was Martin. When told he was the last son of Uriel Septim, Martin was in disbelief. A priest from a provincial city, the secret heir to the Ruby Throne. It seemed impossible. But the gravity of the situation, the proof of the Emperor's death, the urgent plea from this stranger who had just saved them all, was enough. He agreed to go to Wainan Priory. The first part of the Emperor's dying wish was fulfilled. The battle for Kvatch, however, wasn't over. Some chose to stay and help Savlian fight to the castle. A brutal battle that would see the valiant Count Goldwine found among the dead. But whether they stayed to finish the fight or left with Martin, a new title was being whispered among the survivors. A new name born in courage and fire. The Hero of Kvatch. The journey back to Wainan Priory with Martin was fraught with a new tension. The world was no longer just a backdrop. It was a battlefield. Oblivion gates were starting to open across the countryside. Small tears in reality, heralding the coming storm. When they arrived back at the once peaceful priory, their worst fears were realized. It was under attack. Red-robed assassins, the same mythic dawn agents from the sewers, were prowling the grounds. Prior Maybarel lay dead near the stables. Inside the chapel, Joffrey was locked in a desperate battle. The hero of Kvatch and Martin joined the fray, their combined might driving the assassins back. But the victory was hollow. Joffrey rushed back to the secret study where he had hidden the Amulet of Kings. It was gone. The attack wasn't random. It was a targeted strike to steal the very key to stopping the crisis. Joffrey's decision to leave the amulet in a chest, no matter how well hidden, had been a catastrophic mistake. The only hope of lighting the dragon fires was now in the hands of the enemy. With Wainan Priory no longer safe, Joffrey knew they needed a true fortress. He revealed the location of Cloud Ruler Temple, the ancient stronghold of the Blades, nestled high in the Jarl Mountains near Bruma. It was a sanctuary where Martin could be protected while they planned how to retrieve the amulet. The journey north was a journey through a land succumbing to fear. Rumors of the attacks were spreading, and the sight of Oblivion Gates on the horizon was it's becoming all too horribly common. When they finally arrived at Cloud Ruler Temple, they were greeted by blades in their traditional Akaviri armor. They knelt before Martin, recognizing him not as a priest, but as the heir to the throne. For the first time, Martin truly began to feel the weight of the destiny that had been thrust upon him. Inside the temple's great hall, they held a council of war. The path forward was treacherous. They had to find the Mythic Dawn and get the amulet back. Joffrey suggested seeking out Boris, the blade who had survived the Emperor's assassination, who might have found a lead in the Imperial City. Martin, now embracing his new role, tasked the hero of Kvatch with this mission. He pleaded with them to find the amulet, because without it, all was lost. The hero of Kvatch, now acting with the full authority of the Last Septim, prepared to venture back into the capital, not as a prisoner, but as a hunter. The Imperial City was a hive of paranoia. The Emperor's assassination was fresh in everyone's minds, and whispers about strange red-robed figures were everywhere. Following Joffrey's lead, the hero found Boris at a boarding house in the Elven Gardens district. Boris had been tracking the Mythic Dawn and had a lead. A secret meeting was happening in the sewers beneath the city. Descending once more into the familiar gloom, the hero and Boris shadowed a cultist to the meeting. There they overheard the fanatic speaking of Lord Dagon and the coming of Paradise. They also mentioned the Mysterium Xarxes, the sacred book of their cult, written by Mehrunes Dagon himself. The meeting turned into an ambush, and in the battle that followed, the hero recovered a strange book from one of the cultists, the first volume of the Mythic Dawn commentaries by their leader, Mankar Cameron. The book was the first real clue. It was a dense, rambling text, but it hinted at a path to enlightenment, a series of puzzles that would reveal the cult's hidden shrine. The hero took the book to Tar Mina, an expert on Daedric cults at the Arcane University. She recognized the writings and realized 4 volumes were needed to decipher the location. She provided the 2nd and explained that the 3rd and 4th were held by cult members. The search for the remaining books was a deep dive into a clandestine world of spies and fanatics. The 3rd volume came from a sponsor of the cult, a man named Gwynos, who had been promised paradise, but grew fearful and handed the book over. The 4th and final volume was held by a high-ranking cultist in a secret commune. To get it, the hero of Kvatch had to pretend to be a new recruit. Inside, they were brought before a robed figure who turned out to be Mankar Cameron himself. He delivered a chilling sermon, speaking of Tamriel as a corrupted realm that would be cleansed by Dagon's fire and reborn as a paradise for the faithful. As he finished, Cameron opened a portal and escaped into his paradise, taking the Amulet of Kings with him. The hero, having now obtained the final volume of the commentaries and the unholy Mysterium Xarxes itself, fought their way out of the collapsing shrine. With all four volumes and the book, they now had the means to understand the enemy, and just maybe to follow them. Returning to Cloud Ruler Temple, they presented the Mysterium Xarxes to Martin. He recognized it as a book of terrifying power, but also as their only hope. He believed that with time, he could use it to open a portal to Mankar Cameron's paradise and retrieve the amulet. But deciphering the arcane text of a Daedric prince would take time, a luxury they didn't have. Oblivion gates were opening with greater frequency, and the war had truly begun. While Martin dedicated himself to the perilous study of the Mysterium Xarxes, a more immediate threat emerged. Bruma, just down the mountain from Cloud Ruler Temple, became a prime target for the Mythic Dawn. An Oblivion Gate opened right outside its walls. The hero of Kvatch, alongside Bruma's guards, plunged into the gate and destroyed it, earning the gratitude of the city's stern leader, Countess Narina Carvane. But this victory was just a temporary reprieve. Joffrey knew that the Mythic Dawn wouldn't be deterred. They were massing their forces for a major assault on Bruma, rightly believing the last Septim heir was hiding nearby. The Imperial Legion was stretched too thin to send help. If Bruma was going to survive, it would need allies. Martin, speaking with the authority of a future emperor, gave the hero of Kvatch a diplomatic mission. Travel to every great city in Cyrodiil and ask their counts and countesses for aid. This journey became a tour of the heart of the empire, revealing a land of diverse peoples, politics, and simmering tensions. In Leoin, Count Marius Caro was hesitant to send troops so far north. In Braviel, the drunken Count Regulus Terentius was hard to reason with, but his sense of duty won out. To the west, Countess Umbernox of Anvil readily agreed, her loyalty to the Septim line unwavering. In Skingrad, the reclusive Count Hasselidor also pledged his support. In Coral and Shadenhall, Countess Volga and Count Andares also saw the wisdom of a united defense and pledged their soldiers. For each city that pledged support, a soldier would appear at Cloud Ruler Temple, a symbol of a unifying Cyrodiil. But there was a catch. Each leader made it clear they would only send aid if the Oblivion Gate threatening their own city was closed first. And so, the hero of Kvatch embarked on a grueling campaign, traveling from city to city again, but not as a diplomat this time. Rather, as a one-person army. They plunged into gate after gate, from the swamps of Blackwood to the snowy peaks of the Jarl Mountains. Each closure was a small victory, a beacon of hope. This heroic circuit solidified their legendary status. They were no longer just the hero of Kvatch. Now, They were the champion of Cyrodiil. Back at Cloud Ruler Temple, Martin had made a breakthrough. He had deciphered a ritual from the Mysterium Xarxes to open a portal to Mankar Cameron's realm, a place called Gaiar Al-Ata, or Paradise. But the ritual required specific, powerful artifacts. The blood of a Daedra, the blood of a divine, and a great Welkin stone. Once more, the champion of Cyrodiil set out. For the blood of a Daedra, Martin suggested that any Daedric prince's artifact would do. For the blood of a divine, the hero delved into the ancient catacombs of Sangir Tor, the mythical founding place of the Empire. There, they fought through legions of the undead to recover the cursed armor of Tiber Septim, the man who became the god Talos. Finally, for the great Welkin stone, they journeyed into the Aeliad ruins of Mis Karand, retrieving the magical stone from its treacherous depths. With all three artifacts gathered, Martin performed the dark ritual. In the great hall of Cloud Ruler Temple, a portal shimmered into existence. Not the angry red of oblivion, but a serene golden light. This was the gateway to paradise. Martin warned that this was a one-way trip. The only way back was to defeat Mankar Cameron himself. Stepping through, the hero found themselves in a world that was both beautiful and terrifying. A lush, idyllic garden. But this was no paradise. The souls of Mythic Dawn cultists who had died for Dagon wandered here. They told a different story. This place was a prison. They were hunted endlessly by Daedra, killed and reborn in a cycle of eternal torment. The path led to the Forbidden Grotto, a place of suffering where the unfaithful were tortured. Here, the hero met a repentant cultist named Eldamil, who saw the truth of Cameron's lies and offered to help. Together, they navigated the grotto and found their way to Cameron's palace. Inside, Mankar sat upon his throne, the amulet of kings around his neck, his children at his side. He greeted the hero not as an invader, but as an intellectual peer, launching into a final mad sermon. He argued that this world was just another plane of oblivion, and that Mehrunes Dagon was a liberator, come to reclaim it. His words fell on deaf ears. The battle was joined. The hero fought Cameron and his children in a chaotic, reality-bending conflict. But at last, Mankar Cameron fell. And as he died, the paradise he had created began to unravel. The sky tore open, the ground dissolved. The hero clutched the Amulet of Kings as the world vanished, and found themselves standing once again in the great hall of Cloud Ruler Temple. The mission was complete. The hero returned to a scene of grim preparation. The amulet was recovered, but the main Daedric army was now marching on Bruma. The combined forces of Cyrodiil's cities stood ready. Martin Septim himself, clad in Imperial dragon armor, addressed the troops, his voice ringing with the authority of his bloodline. He would lead the battle himself. The battle for Bruma was a desperate, chaotic clash. But it was all a diversion. As the battle raged, a colossal great gate began to form, far larger than any seen before. From it, a massive siege engine emerged, a weapon capable of leveling the entire city. Martin knew that the battle would be a lost cause if that engine got through. He tasked the hero with the most critical mission yet. Enter this great Oblivion Gate. Fight to its sigil tower, and seize the great sigil stone before the weapon could cross over. They would only have minutes. Without hesitation, the hero plunged in. The deadlands within were a war zone, a maelstrom of fire and battle. It was a desperate race against the clock. Fighting and dodging through the hellish landscape, they reached the main tower and began the frantic climb. At the very top, they seized the great sigil stone, just as the siege engine was halfway through the gate. Back in Bruma, the great gate imploded violently, severing the giant weapon in two and destroying the invading army. The battle was won. The champion of Cyrodiil had once again achieved the impossible. With no time to celebrate, they raced to the Imperial City. Martin Septim would finally enter the Temple of the One, light the dragon fires, and end the crisis for good. But they arrived to a scene of ultimate horror. Mehrunes Dagon, in a final desperate gambit, had broken through the barriers himself. The Daedric Prince of Destruction, towering and immense, now stood within the mortal realm, laying waste to the Imperial City. It was too late. The dragon fires could no longer be lit. As Dagon smashed through the wall of the Temple of the One, all hope seemed to be lost. But Martin Septim, the priest who became an emperor, had one final sacrifice to make. He told the hero that they could not defeat Dagon, but he could. He bade them farewell, and taking the Amulet of Kings, strode into the heart of the temple. There, he shattered the amulet, releasing the divine power within, and merging his own essence with the spirit of Akatosh, the dragon god of time. A blinding golden light erupted from the temple. From it emerged a colossal, fiery dragon of pure energy, the avatar of Akatosh. The avatar threw itself at Mehrunes Dagon. The two divine beings clashed in the center of the city, a battle that shook the very foundations of the world. In a final, climactic burst of divine fire, the avatar defeated Dagon, casting him back into the void. The Oblivion Crisis was over. The energy faded. Where the fiery dragon had been, there now stood a massive stone statue of its likeness, a permanent monument to the sacrifice that had saved the world. The last of the septums was gone, the amulet of kings was destroyed, and the third era had ended. In the aftermath, the Chancellor of the Elder Council approached the hero. With the septum line gone, the old empire had passed into history. But a new age was dawning, and its first story had been written by the hero who stood before him. He bestowed upon them the title of Champion of Cyrodiil, and gifted them their own suits of Imperial Dragon armor. The hero's story, from this point on, becomes a whisper on the wind. Some say he continued to serve the Empire, a nameless, faceless protector. Others speak of a stranger path, of a mysterious door appearing in the Nibbin Bay, a door to the Shivering Isles. It is rumored that here, in the realm of the Daedric Prince of Madness, the hero undertook one final journey, eventually assuming the mantle of Shigarath and becoming the Prince of Madness themselves. A strange, yet somehow fitting, fate for a mortal who had walked through hell and stood beside the gods. But no matter where their path led, their legacy is forever etched into the soul of Tamriel. They were a prisoner with no name. They weren't born a hero. They became one through courage, sacrifice, and an unwavering will to stand against the darkness. They were the hero of Kvatch, the champion of Cyrodiil, the savior who walked out of a prison cell and into legend. And now, their story is complete. Let it bring you peace, and let their quest, their epic journey, guide you into restful sleep. Thank you for joining me. If you enjoyed this story, please consider liking and subscribing for more tales from the history of Tamriel. And now, rest well. The jaws of oblivion are closed, and for a time, there is peace.
Thank you.